Before we get started, I just wanted to announce we are going to be at a Healing Humanity meetup on March 8th in Austin. So Faith and I will be there. I think we might be speaking, but I will put the link in the description down below. I hope y'all can join us. We love meeting y'all and getting to hang out and talk. And I think there's going to be like an awesome, delicious meat meal while we're there. So we will meet each other and eat meat. So kind of like a good deal. But the other day I was driving and I was listening to Dr. Ben Bankman, and he talks about a lot about metabolic health and insulin resistance and all this stuff. And I got to thinking, for those of you that have been around the channel for a while, know that I used to be in the financial planning field and we're really into like debt-free living, private family banking, rethinking our thinking differently. We are capitalists. We know that capitalism requires capital, which is why our current monetary policy and monetary system is broken because it's a debt-based economy. And so in order for us to correct that, we have to think differently, we have to act differently, and we have to behave differently. And as I was thinking about all this and listening to this podcast, I got to thinking of how credit cards and carbohydrates are analogous. And if you'll give me a minute, I'll break this down to let you kind of know how I'm making this analogy. If it had a subtitle, it would be The Hidden Debts Destroying Your Life. And so you're saying, okay, well, how are you going to compare carbohydrates to credit cards? Well, here's one thing that we know. You don't need carbohydrates, and you don't need carbohydrates to actually perform optimally. Well, in the same aspect, you do not need credit cards. Credit cards actually give you no value. And the statistics, I'm going to weave some statistics in and out of this and to make these correlations and whatnot. But in our postmodern world, we have an obesity epidemic, which is almost directly related to a carbohydrate epidemic where ultra-processed foods and seed oils and ultra-processed carbohydrates make up 80% of our calories. And I don't believe in calories, but if you hold to a calorie theory, 80% of our diets are made up of these carbohydrates, these highly processed seed oil carbohydrates. And simultaneously, from a financial perspective, our entire economy is predicated upon debt and run upon debt. I think the average American has about $56,000 or $4,000 worth of credit card debt. And that's really hard to fathom. But so this is a prevailing issue with our metabolic health and our personal health. And it's also a very similar issue when it relates to our financial health. That's why I wanted to compare carbohydrates with credit cards. Now, let me explain how this correlates. There is a lure of instant gratification. You know, there's a convenience and a low cost of processed foods and how these foods are engineered to be addictive. And, you know, all these Philip Morris people that were hired to make all these highly processed foods highly addictive, on par with, you know, bathtub pharmaceuticals. Also, there is an immediate energy boost with these highly processed carbohydrates. You know, credit cards and, for lack of a better term, debt is the death of capitalism. You can't have capitalism without capital. And like I already stated, we live in a debt-based economy. There's an appeal of immediate purchasing power when it comes to credit cards. And just like carbohydrates, there's this short-term high, there's this instant gratification when you charge it on the card. I think there's been several studies done on credit card purchasing, and they know that a person will spend 70% more when they charge something versus paying cash, pulling fiat currency out of their wallet and plopping it down. If people use credit cards, they will overspend. They will spend 70% more. And I'm going to recommend the book, The Millionaire Next Door, and how it talks about hyperconsumerism. So on the credit card side, we have hyperconsumerism. And then on the carbohydrate side, we have hyperconsumptionism, where we create this feedback loop where the carbs create the cravings, you eat the carbs, which create the cravings, which you eat the carbs, which create the cravings. The next thing you know, you're morbidly obese, you're pre-diabetic, you're in complete metabolic disorder. So I hope that you're kind of seeing this correlation between carbohydrates and credit cards. There are marketing strategies around credit cards, and they promote spending as a form of freedom. There is a marketing strategy around carbohydrates. You know, once you pop, you can't stop, you know, or Doritos or Pringles or all these highly processed carbohydrate foods that are incredibly addictive, and you just continue to consume them ad nauseum. As of the third quarter of 2024, U.S. credit card debt reached a record $1.17 trillion, and that was up from $770 billion in the first quarter of 2021. So credit card debt is exploding. Oh, here's the average household with revolving credit card debt owes $10,500. So that's the average. So, like, for example, our household owes zero credit card debt because we are debt-free. We've been debt-free probably now for about 5 or 6 years. We shared that with you on the channel when we went debt-free and paid off the last of our student loans. But that is the first correlation between credit cards and carbohydrates, is this lure of instant gratification, whether it's the instantaneous purchase that you didn't have to save for, or whether it's the quick hit sugar that just tantalizes your taste buds and just gives you a short-term sugar buzz. Another correlation between carbohydrates and credit cards is the slow accumulation of damage. You know, there's a link between excessive carbohydrate intake and insulin resistance. This is what Ben Binkman was talking about, and it just got me thinking about this entire topic. There's also, because of all this insulin yo-yoing up and down and insulin resistance, there is a slow progression to metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, and now what's being called type 3 diabetes, which is either Alzheimer's or dementia, because they're finding a direct correlation between your metabolic dysfunction, your insulin resistance, and memory loss and brain damage. There's often an unnoticed buildup of health issues over time. So just like with carbohydrates, when it comes to credit cards, they have a compound interest rate that'll eat your lunch. I think the average credit card interest rate in America now is 28 point something. It's very close to 29%. And at the time, they might have raised the minimum interest rate to 32%, but I think 29%, the last I checked, 29% was the highest interest rate that they could charge you. So when it comes to credit cards, you have this compounding effect of this compounding interest rate and this compounding debt that snowballs and overtakes you like an avalanche, the same way that these carbohydrates creep up on you and accumulate and build up, which build up insulin resistance, right? And destroys your metabolic health and destroys your mind and destroys your mood and destroys your body, destroys your life, destroys your relationships. Credit cards and carbohydrates do the same thing. Carbohydrates do it to your body and credit cards do it to your financial freedom. There's also stress and anxiety associated with mounting debt. And in the same way that stress and anxiety builds up with mounting debt, a over onslaught of carbohydrates and insulin spiking and insulin dumping, these create these psychosomatic issues in your brain that lead to, in the very same way, that actually cause stress and anxiety in your adrenal system. And which is why you hear of these testimonies of people that go keto or carnivore or low carb, how that they're no longer on their SSRIs, they no longer have depression, they no longer need to take all these medications, because the carbohydrates and the ultra-processed sugars and the ultra-processed foods was literally starving and destroying their brain, because in lieu of protein-dense beef and high fats that are satiating and actually feed your brain, and ketones and all these other things, your body is exclusively feeding off of the carbohydrates and the highly processed foods. This was another really interesting statistic. Over 50% of U.S. households have less than $1,000 in savings, you know, and that's why they want to push credit cards. They want to push the easy charge it rather than delayed gratification, saving up capital so that you can employ capital. Maybe you'll need to employ capital for an emergency, you know, or maybe you'll be able to employ capital once it's accumulated for opportunities, maybe investment opportunities, business opportunities, all different kinds of opportunities. But you can't use credit cards when it comes to these capitalistic opportunities, because it's exclusively debt with an incredibly high compounding interest rate. The prevalence of obesity among U.S. adults was 40.3% during August of 2021 through August of 2023. And I think that's went up since 2023. But at that time, it was 40.3%. Metabolic syndrome affects approximately one-third of U.S. adults. And this isn't even talking about all the children that are affected by metabolic syndrome, or the children born with metabolic syndrome. See, that's the problem when we abuse ourselves with carbohydrates. You know, if we are procreating and being blessed with children, we can actually curse them with metabolic syndrome by just destroying our genes and our genetics and our own metabolic systems, and we can actually curse them with these same metabolic issues at birth, which is just totally insane when you think about it. So there's a snowball effect, right, with credit cards, and there's a snowball effect when it comes to carbohydrates. And what I'm referring to is a snowball effect. It's this avalanche. And it becomes, the longer you participate in it, the harder it becomes to escape. With carbohydrates, there is the cycle of cravings, which lead to overconsumption, energy crashes, prompting further intake of sugary, highly processed foods. And then there's the difficulty in breaking the habit due to the physiological dependence. And these physiological dependence are actually, you know, they become hardwired even in your mind and in your processes, because your body just craves this stuff so that it continue this insulin pump and dump process. And that's what it become. You become a slave to the carbohydrate. You become a carbohydrate addict, just like the crackhead becomes a crackhead, right? In the exact same way, you become a carbohydrate crackhead. Now, similarly, with credit cards, there is the trap of making minimum payments, because you accumulate debt on credit cards, and then you actually accumulate additional credit cards. And then, you know, and things will happen, and oh, well, this emergency happened and that emergency happened, so I had to put this on this credit card. And then before I could get that paid off, I had a flat tire, or the engine blew in my car, or all these different things that we should be preparing for in life, but we're not. And it becomes what appears to be manageable with this false promise of the put it on the credit card, buy now, pay never, because you'll make these minimum payments. The interest rates are so high, the interest will accrue, other life happens and stuff happens and spends happens, and maybe you lose your job. There's so many variables, right? And once you're in that debt cycle, it's incredibly hard to escape. The challenge of escaping the debt cycle, you know, once you're deeply entrenched, when you're going through all that, it seems impossible. And it's exactly like that carbohydrate that you're consuming all day long, every day. And you're like, how can I stop? I can't. In the third quarter of 2024, credit card balances grew by $24 billion and are 8.1% higher than a year ago. The average credit card interest rate is 28.6%, significantly increasing the cost of the carried debt. And isn't it fascinating? Because I think the max is like 29% and the average rate is 28.6. Now, as with carbohydrates and credit cards, there are the hidden costs of overconsumption. With carbohydrates, you have the association with chronic inflammation and the health implications that come along with that chronic inflammation. And most people are chronically inflamed because they are metabolically unhealthy. There's also a direct impact on mental clarity and overall energy levels, as well as long-term healthcare costs resulting from the diet-related diseases. You know, these metabolic-related diseases, which when you consider heart disease and diabetes, insulin resistance, and dementia, I'm pretty sure metabolic disease accounts for like 60 or 70% of the death in America. Now with credit cards, similarly, there is the financial strain of late fees and penalties. There's the potential for damaging your credit score in the event that you may actually need credit to purchase a home, since home prices are absolutely astronomically skyrocketing. Very few people can afford a home without a mortgage. And I don't recommend mortgages either. They're death grips. That's actually what the word means. But in this modern day and age, with these medium to high six-figure homes, like it's just impossible for 90% of the U.S. population to afford a home without a mortgage. And you have the potential for damaging your credit with these snowballing credit cards. And then you have universal default clauses between credit cards and mortgage companies, where in the event if you default on a credit card, they can actually make you default on your mortgage. So that's something really interesting to look into, universal default. But you can thank the big bankers for that. That's why I don't like participating in the banking system either. And we practice private family banking in the same way that we practice the carnivore diet for the way we eat, because our solution to carbohydrates is a low-carb, carnivore, ketovore-type diet. And our solution for credit cards is capital accumulation, capital appreciation, and we do that within our own private family banking system. So these are the solutions. It's not about just bagging and knocking on the topic, but what are the solutions? How do you implement it? How do you do all that? Only 12.2% of American adults are metabolically healthy, indicating a high prevalence of metabolic dysfunction. So if only 12% of Americans are metabolically healthy, inversely, that means that 88% not metabolically healthy. That's incredible. Total U.S. household debt increased by $109 billion in Q2 of 2024, reaching $17.8 trillion total household debt. Okay, so I almost jumped the gun. You know, how do we break free from the cycle? You know, what are our strategies for breaking the carb cycle? I think there's only one strategy for breaking the carb cycle. And I think that it's a carnivore, ketovore, low-carb diet. It's a way to break the carb cycle and then keep that carb cycle broken, metabolically improve your health, metabolically improve your mitochondria, and then you can heal. Now, here's the big thing. For me, I'm 49 years old. It took me 47 years to destroy my mitochondria through abusing my body with carbohydrates and seed oils. So if I did that for 47 years, how can I expect to reverse that in 1 year or 2 years? And even though there has been miraculous things that have happened for people with the carnivore diet, you would have to be foolish to expect that you could reverse the damage of an accumulation snowball effect of 47 years in 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years. And the longer that I'm on the carnivore diet, the better I continue to feel. My different metabolic functions continue to improve. My sleep continues to improve. My joints continue to improve. My cognitive function continues to improve. So the only solution that I have for the crackhead carb addiction is the carnivore, a ketovore diet. The only solution that I can offer for the credit card addiction and the credit card accumulation and that avalanche of credit card debt is obviously discipline begets discipline, right? And you can't implement the carnivore diet without discipline. You can't implement the elimination of debt without discipline. You cannot create your own private family banking system without discipline. Life requires discipline. You have to choose your hard. You can either make the hard decisions to improve your health, the hard decisions to replace the carbohydrates with the nutrient-dense beef and fats, which will in turn help you kick the addiction. It will literally stop the addiction, but you have to implement the discipline to do that. In the same way, with the credit cards. You have to have the discipline, obviously, to not use the credit cards. You have to have the discipline to save, to spend less than you make, and do it for an extended period of time to accumulate capital. Then once you accumulate your capital, you can then implement and practice your own private family banking system. But I just saw all these correlations and I thought it was very interesting. I thought it would make an interesting video. I hope you enjoyed this. Tell me what you think down below of this correlation between carbohydrates and credit cards. Let me know what you think and how far off base am I, and or what you see with all that. Thank you all for watching. We love you all. If you are in the Austin area on March 8th, check us out in the link down below. And if you're looking for, if y'all are local, if anybody's local and looking for beef, check out the texasboys.com. We do have a cal available, so we sell it in quarters, halves, and wholes. So check that out, and we'll see you all in the next video.